Goddesses, this is our 100th freaking episode.
Woo! And we are going to dive into your favorite topic, all things psychic abilities and intuition.
Let's dive in. Hello and welcome to another episode of Goddess Hangs.
Episode number 100.
Woo! I just want to scream at the top of my lungs, but I won't do it.
We actually made it.
We actually made
100.
It.
100. That's big.
We've done this 100 times.
That's wild.
That's a lot. Wow. That's a lot of times that we've sat our butts in these chairs.
I know. And if you've watched or listened to 100 episodes, thank you.
What a journey we've been on together.
I know. Learning and growing together.
Growing and learning. I'm Sadie.
And I'm Juliet. Obviously.
And we created the Goddess Hangs podcast to make the world of mindset, magic, and manifestation more relatable
and fun. 100 times.
Times 100. And we had so much fun last month doing creepy crawly Halloween themed episodes.
Yes, but we did.
We're back for the mindset, magic, and manifestation as promised.
Yes, I've been watching all these Gaia documentaries, learning things, diving deeper. I'm excited for what we have to talk about today.
Today's going to be a fun episode. It's one of the podcast favorite topics. We've done multiple episodes surrounding psychic abilities, intuition, and we have a lot of fun stuff to dive into today related to that. But first, Juliet, what's new with you?
Oh my goodness. Well, happy belated Halloween. Mm-hmm. Halloween was last Monday. I hope everybody had a magical or cozy or playful or spooky time, whatever you wanted your Halloween to be. I had a wonderful Halloween weekend. On Saturday night, Victor and I had tickets to go to Clifton's, which is my favorite spot in all of Los Angeles. It's in downtown LA. It's like four stories tall. There's all these different areas. Like one room is an enchanted tiki bar. One area is like a big DJ setup. Another area, there's a live swing band, like a 10-piece band that plays and people swing dance. And oh my gosh. So you float from room to room and you just have the most magical time. But before we went out, our downstairs neighbor, Vivi, came upstairs and she did both of our hair and makeup.
Oh.
Because the plan was for months, I was going to be a burger babe, and Victor was going to be a burger, a French fry, something related, so we could match for once. This is our sixth Halloween together. It would be
and
nice.
And specifically,
to match.
This was like an In-N-Out costume. They just had to call it burger.
Oh yeah, that
for
was
copyright
the
reason. It was an In-N-Out costume.
It's a little In-N-Out cutie girl. And so this was the plan forever and ever. Well, the day before we are going out, Victor decides he is going to be John Wick. So we had Burger Babe and John Wick. So Vivi came upstairs and like straightened his hair and like made it look wet and drew all these like bloody, you know, bruises and things on his face.
It turned out really good.
It turned
I've
out really good.
I've watched John Wick dozens of times because it's Craig's favorite movie.
I've never even heard of it.
It's good to watch one time, you know. I love Keanu, obsessed with him. I'll watch anything with him in it. What a sweetie. But you know, it's just fighting for 2 hours. It's just him fighting guys and being like, really, I don't know if he could beat that many guys at once, you know, but he's Keanu, so he does it.
Of course he can.
But yeah.
So then we're all just like, you know, kind of pre-gaming, enjoying, getting all ready, and then Vivian says, nobody move. And she runs downstairs, she gets her camera and like a light and like all these things, comes back upstairs and spends an hour doing photo shoots of us because she's like, you look amazing.
Oh.
It was so sweet. It was so sweet. And the photos she sent me, I'm gonna have to, you know what, here, I'm gonna show a couple of them. Here is one photo that Vivian took.
Wow. I haven't seen it, but I'll see it with you guys.
And here's another.
Oh my gosh.
And another. I'll
show
three.
Oh my goddess.
Oh my goddess. So that was like so fun. And then we went out to Clifton's, and when you walked in, there were like piles of candy everywhere. And so I found the cookies and cream Hershey's, which is arguably the best Hershey's.
This is so funny because when we did our crossover episode, if you haven't watched it, I'll try to remember to link it, but we were on Homemade by Irene, Juliet's best friend, my good friend Irene's YouTube channel, and we tried all these Halloween candies, and it was hysterical because we're like, how the fuck has Juliet not eaten any of these popular candies? I've never had a cookies and cream Hershey bar. There's my candy that I've never had.
We're going to the store today. We're going to the store and we're getting one. And it is the most delicious, amazing. Oh my gosh. Teaching each other new things.
We'll have to send a video to Irene of me trying a candy I've never had before. How exciting.
Hot content. So, yeah. Eating all the candy. And this was a funny thing that was happening throughout the night. So, our friend Bree was there and she kept... I guess as the night went on, people kept abandoning their props that they had brought. So she was like,
collecting them?
She's like, well, this is mine now.
So, brilliant.
So she had at one point, well, the whole night she ended up taking this one home, this huge hand. And she kept like grabbing people with it and like it was like this gross bloody arm.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
At one point she had found swords, then like she just kept collecting.
Bring a Trader Joe's reusable bag to keep all the props in so you can take them home.
That was very funny. And then it was just a really, really fun time. And then on actual Halloween night, we stayed in. Vivian came upstairs again. We spent a lot of time with her. It's really cute having a neighbor friend. And we watched Halloween Town and Halloween Town 2, Calabar's Revenge. Ooh. And we do not have time for Halloween Town High or Return to Halloween Town. Maybe next year.
Who has the time?
A lot of movies. But it was so fun. We had this really yummy dinner. And then she went home. And then I had the scariest thing of all, which was Halloween food poisoning.
Ooh.
Ooh. Halloween, the month of October, truly ended with a bang. So I also detoxed, much yes. like Sadie will tell you about her experience, in an involuntary way. So that was that. Let's see. I made some notes. Halloween, Clifton's, photo shoot, dancing, props, food poisoning. Oh, big. Speaking of detox, okay. Victor and I went through a whole house.
That's right.
And cleared out so much stuff. Like donated everything that was donatable, trashed everything else, and the house feels so much better. And some of you know that I live below a neighbor who is how do I politely say this?
They're loud?
Yeah, but it's a particular way that they're loud.
In a spicy way.
Okay, imagine living beneath a very loud man who every time he finishes, he literally
sounds like a ghost.
Screams. Oh,
a wailing ghost.
No. Sometimes it's
no. Why is he saying no?
I don't know. And we've like tried to politely and like it'll wake us up some days and it's just the most, it doesn't even sound real. It's certainly not sexy to me personally.
Oh my God. No. No, what? What are you saying no?
And it's like, I'm so happy he's getting his action. I'm
good
like,
for him, you know?
I admire it, but I don't want to hear it. Like no. Multiple times a day. Like it's very gross. It's very, you can hear it across
it's
the
one
house.
Thing if it's weekly that you're hearing that
oh it's
loud of it,
all
but
the
multiple
time.
Times a
and
day.
We've brought this to his attention. We've tried handling it first through texts politely. Those were not really responded to. We went to the door once. I was in a bathrobe because I had just been woken up and I was like, this has to stop. Like, I'm so sorry. I'm like shaking even being here right now. But like, this has to stop. I'll try. And then he just doesn't. So we complained to the HOA. And the president of the board gave him a phone call.
You have to stop coming so hard.
Literally. Because it was like the last straw for me. Like, I just so
well,
many
you
things.
Tried to handle it neighbor to neighbor.
Well, now the whole building gets to know. I don't care anymore. Yeah. Like, it was just, it's so unfair. Like, I should not be hearing this. Anyways, so that was slightly comedic to hear that. You know, I told this member who then called the president, who then let the person know that through this person and this person, they got word that this is happening and continuing, and like, you need to cool it. Because he's trying to get a hot tub installed in the building. And I'm like, do not give this man a hot tub. It is going to be filthy. Do not vote yes on hot. Vote no. I know it's voting season right now, perhaps in years. Vote no on hot tubs. So that's what's new with me.
Wow.
How are you? What's new? And again, no shame on anyone's sexuality, sexual preferences, the noises they make in pleasure. Well,
when you live in a condo or apartment complex, you do have to be mindful of your neighbors, you know?
But that's my issue.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Okay, let me open my notes. Okay, so I completed my detox.
She did it.
I did it. So last week I was like halfway through it, and it was really hard leading up to it. Cause like I cut out coffee, and then I told you I was only eating like lentils and rice with like very specific seasonings that are like bland and good for your digestion. So it was like a week of just like eating tasteless food, which was like, I just love spicy food specifically. I like a lot of seasoning. I like it to taste really good. So it was honestly like hard leading up to it and like the 2 days after, but I'm really glad I did it. But basically, so from where we last left off, I went in for 2 days of treatments in the clinic. So I got a hot oil full body massage, and it was like your scalp, like, you know, completely full of oil, scalp to my tippy toes, and then was in like a steam tent thing. And it was so funny. So the second day I'm coming out of us, you know, it's like a full hour. I'm like going pretty deep in meditation, you know, so relaxed. You come out looking like a hot mess. My hair's been, you know, my scalp's been massaged and is full of oil. So my hair's crazy. I'm completely slick looking. And it's this tiny waiting room. And when I open the door, my eyes are half open and I look horrendous. And I open the door. I told Juliet this, but there's the most gigantic, stunning man sitting in this waiting room. He made the regular size chair look like he was sitting in a first grade classroom. He was so large, like he was sitting on a tiny chair. And I was like, is that a tiny chair? But there was his mother, I think, sitting next to him. And I was like, no, the chair is regular size. So I'm just like, I sit down and wait my turn because I have to pay and get my herbs to go. And I'm just like looking at this guy. So I'm like, where does this guy come from? He's like gigantic and so gorgeous. And then I get called up to do my thing, and she hands me my tea. And she's like, again, this is a tiny waiting room. And she's telling me like, okay, so the goal is 8 bowel movements today. Call us later to tell us how many, and take note of the consistency and the color. And she's just going off. And I'm just like, oh my God.
Meanwhile, Thor
literally looked like a Greek god. And I'm just like, okay. And I left. So that was a funny little anecdote. But then I went home, I drank my tea. And at first, the tea didn't taste that bad. It was just kind of a gross consistency, mm-hmm. but it wasn't too bad. I have no idea what was in it. And at first I was like, I don't really feel anything. I don't think this is working. And then I was like, oh no, I feel like I'm gonna barf. I'm not supposed to barf, it's supposed to come out. I was going through these rolling emotions. And then I started going to the bathroom and I hit my goal. They said 8 times or more, and I did it. I did 8 times.
Good job.
Yeah, it was an interesting day. You just would be like, oh, all of a sudden, and then you had to go immediately to the toilet. Like, I couldn't go anywhere because it was just, I was actually like resting and laying down, and I was supposed to also like not really like talk to anybody, not really like I'm not supposed to take naps, not supposed to like watch TV or whatever. So I was trying to stay off social media and stay off of things. And so I was just kind of sitting in my house, just sort of like looking around, Just the way I must have, I wish I would have just filmed myself throughout the day, because I was just sitting out, I was like literally twiddling my thumbs, and I'd like read a little bit out of my book, and I was drawing for a while. It was nice. It was like, I kind of want to do that more often, where it's like, it's just a challenge. Like, and I already do this. I'll be like, okay, tonight I'm not turning on the TV, and I'm just going to challenge myself to entertain myself without that. But you know, it was cool. It was like, okay, I'm keeping my phone away. But it was a lot of just sitting around and waiting to have to go to the bathroom again.
I would also like to be praised on my challenge, which was not texting you.
Yes.
Even though I really wanted to all day. I did a good job.
Julia did so good. And the next day I was looking at our emails, and she was doing all this emailing and just holding down the fort while I was gone, because I literally had a reminder in my phone that said no work.
I know. And I was like, okay,
my friend Steffi, who was on Spirit Sis, she DM'd me. She's like, the most hysterical thing that a Virgo schedules no work. Mm-hmm. As a reminder. And I'm like, no, I know, but I like really had to try. I did do one little bit. I created a Reels that day, or a TikTok, that cemetery TikTok I was working on that day. But I was like, I was just like, I was sick of reading and drawing and looking out the window. So I did a little bit.
Looking out the window.
I was just like, aw. Which I do every day. I'm always like, hi neighbors. But let me see if I wrote anything out. But
I didn't mean to turn that one on me.
No, you did.
It was a detox for me as well to not contact you.
Yeah.
Because you need to understand, I must talk to Sadie every 40 minutes. I do not leave her alone.
But we both do it
second.
To each other. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's reciprocal. It's not just Juliet like bugging me or something. Like, I'm always bugging her back, and it's not bugging you, but you get it.
It's dreaming.
I was like, Craig was gone. Juliet wasn't talking to me. I don't really talk to anybody else all the time. You know, I was staying out of the Discord. I was staying off of social media. I went on a couple times, but you know, I was really trying to be disconnected, and I was just like, man, this is interesting, just being alone. Because I'm alone a lot, but yeah, it was different. So yeah, the day of, I was just pooping. It was awesome. I loved it. And then for the next 2 days, okay, so the next day I woke up and it was so crazy. I felt so high. I was so ungrounded, but like, I felt good, but I felt like I was like on mushrooms or something.
Oh my gosh.
It was the strangest feeling. And then like the next couple days, I could only eat really bland food again. And I could, like the first and second day, I could only eat rice porridge. So just like really overcooked rice, which was not good. So that was also difficult, but you just have to, in Ayurveda, doing Panchakarma is basically comparable to like having a surgery. So you really have to like take the comeback to like eating regularly, like very slowly and very carefully, because you just like basically stripped your entire digestive system. So you just need to be gentle when you come back. So it was really hard to like only eat rice porridge. I was just like, I just want to taste and I just want to crunch something, you know, I'm just like eating soggy food. But I'm mostly back now. I'm still not eating dairy or meat, and I'm taking it really easy on gluten. So you just have to very slowly introduce these things back in. So right now I'm like kind of eating vegan, but only for a couple more days. But I'll say this, it made me super aware of the way food makes me feel. I feel very, now when I'm introducing new things, I'm very like, oh, my body doesn't like that. I'm so in tune with it. And so I'm very slowly trying different kinds of food and stuff. And I'm appreciative of that. And I've definitely felt like, no, mister, don't scratch this. I've definitely felt a difference in like my mental health and my anxiety and my focus. I think yesterday I sort of like felt anxious again, but I feel like my body sort of grounding out, and like I feel it helping that. Look at all these cats around
all
Juliet.
All of a sudden everybody just wants to be near me.
So yeah, I just feel more in control of my body. I feel more aware of my body. Mister, you're being so loud. I don't know if the mic's picking that up. But I feel very, very, very aware and that feels really good. And I was a little bummed about doing Mr. Snorting ASMR. Gross. This is how I get woken up in the middle of the night, is he's snoring or cleaning himself and snorting. But yeah, I would definitely do this again. It was a fall detox. It felt really good. It was very hard, but I liked the challenge of it being like my willpower and shifting, and now I'm creating new habits with like food, and it's really like shifted my perspective on my relationship with like nourishing my body and stuff, which is fun. So yeah, it was kind of a bummer to do it over Halloween weekend and not get to go out, but I would do it again next year, but hopefully it can time out where it's not this weekend. I'll make sure it does. But the other bummer was that, you know, it completely took away my ass and titties. They're gone.
Oh, they'll be back.
They'll be back. But I was just like, oh, I didn't consider that I would like lose some weight doing this, because you eat the whole time. But obviously, like, I couldn't eat enough rice pudding or rice porridge to keep it on, but it's okay. But that being real, I was like, oh man. But you know, we got rid of all the toxins and my new ass and titties will be full of nourishing vitamins and minerals.
Better than ever.
So that was one thing. And then on Halloween, the street that I live near, where like Juliet and I go to like lunch every week, it's just like a street of like boutiques and restaurants, and it's got like string lights and it's really, really cute. And they blocked off the street. Mister, you have to
listen to this.
So gross. But they blocked off the street, and then they did like kids could come trick or treat from all the businesses. And so Craig's little niece and nephew that are so, so cute, they came with his two sisters, and we dressed up and we just walked around, and it was just fun to see like everyone's costumes and all the kids. And
I know I missed seeing kids this year.
Yeah, it was really sweet and fun. So I still did get to kind of go out for Halloween a little bit. And that was really fun. And I think this was the first year that I watched all, so every spooky season I watched 31 Halloween movies, and this was the first year I think that I completed it all by the 31st.
Good job.
Because it's hard to watch a movie every single day, but I did it. I watched my 31 Halloween movies. It was so fun. And I took down my Halloween decorations yesterday.
Oh, me too.
And I was so depressed. When I was little,
happy to take them down.
When I was little, I used to throw a fit, and I'd be bawling, crying every year when my parents took the Christmas tree down. Like, I would be sobbing. I just have a really hard time with endings. And I'm just like, oh my, I still have so much decorations and stuff at my house, and I'm like, oh, my house looks so plain. So I'm like scheming, I'm like, ooh, I gotta go get more decorations for the in-between holiday times. But yeah, that was my detox. I would do it again. I feel really good now. It was definitely challenging, but I really liked it. And it was called Pancha Karma. If you want to look into it, it's a fall thing and it is very intense. So do not do it on your own. It's something that you need to do with an Ayurvedic doctor watching over you to do it with, because it's very intense. But it was really, really wonderful. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, I would definitely recommend it. From my experience, it was amazing. I'm really happy I did it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good, good, good.
So that's what's new with me.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I am very excited to dive into today's topic.
So, oh my gosh, Mister is driving me nuts right now. You're being so loud.
I just think it's so funny how we've shared this before. Boo wants to cuddle. Mm-hmm. Mister does not want you to touch him, but he does want to be as close to you as possible without touching.
Yeah, like he sleeps on the end of our bed every night, and Boo's like, up in the, you know, cuddled on us every night. Like, he's always there, but he doesn't want to be touched.
Like, watch this. You want to see him leave really quick? Hi, Mister.
Look at him. Look at him.
Hi. Hi. I'm so happy you're here.
He says,
I hope you'll stay for a long time, Mister.
Oh, he's kind of enjoying it this time.
What?
Well, he likes that spot.
Oh. Are you just acting up on camera? You're affectionate
today? Wow.
Okay, I'm eating my words. I'm just eating them.
Like a boo.
Oh, she got her little tug out.
Oh. Boo's looking at her brother. You coming over here? So, okay, so we're going to dive in.
That's a first.
We have a fun sort of two parts to today's episode. I'm going to talk a little bit about what being psychic really means, the difference between intuition and psychic abilities and mediumship and your ego. And then Juliet has some really fun psychic stories for
us. Yes, so I do.
Should I start by teaching a little bit about being psychic?
Absolutely. And let's just share the context of this is from two psychics who did not grow up seeing ghosts floating through spaces.
No.
I still don't typically see with my eyes any type of spirit. And it's something we developed later in life. And it's totally possible to develop and nurture these gifts later in life. So I just wanted to add that little piece.
Yes.
Go ahead. I'm ready to learn and listen.
We are two psychics who have been psychic for about 2 years now. 3 years? 2 years.
Yeah.
About 2 years. Okay. So
the whole family's here. Let's begin.
So what's the difference between intuition and psychic ability? So there's actually no difference. It's really that when you refer to being psychic, it's that you've chosen to develop your intuition. Mm-hmm. So there's really no difference between intuition and being psychic. It's just that it's a further development. It's developing what's already there. It's with intention. So we are all naturally intuitive beings. It's a natural part of us. And some of us choose to hone in and further develop it. It's like a muscle. It's something you can strengthen. And this is psychic ability. So we really truly are capable of being psychic. And it looks different for each of us. Some of us might tune in really fast and we click in. Some it might take a little bit more time to develop. There's the clairs. Some people are more have an easier time tuning into like clairvoyance, which would be seeing with your mind's eye. Some people might have an easier time tuning into clairaudience, which would be hearing in your mind, etc., etc. So it's not that we're necessarily all psychic, but we're all capable of being psychic.
And I think it's important to say that I always thought psychic meant a future predictor. And that's all that meant.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had like an aversion to the word for a long time because I was like, yeah, I don't really like, you know, that's not my favorite thing to do. And that's not what psychic means at all.
No. So, okay, what does it mean to identify as intuitive versus identify as psychic? I thought this was a good sort of analogy for this. I feel like it's like a step up. It's like graduating or getting promoted from being like a junior executive to like a senior executive.
Oh.
So you might say I'm an intuitive. For instance, like when we first went through our mentorship and I first started doing readings, I called them intuitive readings because I had just started my development. I'm going to dig more into this too. But then now I call them psychic readings because I've developed my intuitive gifts further. And I really feel like when you're identifying as an intuitive, you're very in tune with the energy around, you're receiving messages. But when you're identifying as psychic, if you're giving a psychic reading, it's like you're able to give really specific evidential information along with those energetic messages. I feel like that's the biggest difference. An intuitive reading would have the energy, would be able to tune into those messages. And I think a psychic is that step up where it's like, I have one example where I just had a reading where I was getting intuitive messages around this person's relationship and some things that would support that and help that. But I also received very specific information. I said, I feel like your husband is always wearing a hat. I feel like he drives a truck. And with that sort of psychic information, that really makes people feel really confident and go like, whoa, they're definitely clicked in. It's like another level of this message is definitely for me, because sometimes with empowering messages, as maybe you've noticed when you tune into like our free readings that we do on live, like you can relate to a lot of the empowering messages. And I feel like being able to give that psychic information, sometimes you'll see us say something really specific, like Juliet saw somebody living on a farm, right? It's like it's sort of that step up of being able to give that like ultra specific information. Do you have anything to add about like in identifying as intuitive versus psychic?
I love how you differentiated it. And I would also say, you know, use the word that like excites and aligns with you the most. Mm-hmm. So like if you're like, no, I just like the word intuitive, like mm-hmm. go for it. That's fine. But it has been very fun and empowering, and it's taken like years of work to finally step into this feeling of like, I am a psychic. Mm-hmm. It's just without a doubt like just a part of me and like something that my brain is able to tap into. Mm-hmm. And it is fun to claim that, and as that grows, it's like you'll look back and be like, oh, that's what that feeling was on this day 4 mm-hmm. years ago. Oh, that's what this was trying to tell me. It's in all of us.
Absolutely. So again, it's really about just further developing that. That's what being a psychic means is developing that intuitive gift. And then it's sort of that next level, being able to tap in even deeper.
And this just came to me. In the same way that we're very passionate about creating some new like understandings and beliefs and ideas about what witches are, like mm-hmm. You know, there can be such like a negative connotation about witches and the way that we do it and the way that, you know, members of our coven or even our listeners do witchcraft is like very positive and very like loving and sweet and empowering. I believe that we do this. Is he about to puke on the desk?
Please don't puke on the Wi-Fi, I'm sorry.
Maybe close the door, he's being very loud. Okay.
Gonna have some vomit to clean up later.
Okay.
We're back.
So, I'm gonna start over.
Normally I would just let him do it, but it was gonna be on technology.
Well, and like those Wi-Fi units have all those holes on the
exactly.
top.
Exactly. I couldn't let
modems.
That happen.
Is it called a modem?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, in the same way that we... Chaos! In the same way that we love sort of redefining or shining a different light on what it means to be a witch, I now am feeling more and more passionate about shining a light on what it means to be a psychic. Because mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of fear around psychic abilities. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of just general distrust. And I've, you know, I've had experiences where I've gone to psychics and just felt like this person literally just took my money. And it's exciting to create and open up a conversation and talk about it in a different light, like in a it's like it's supposed to be a helpful thing. It's supposed yeah. to be like for anybody who has consented to a reading, it's supposed to be like a helpful, life-giving experience. Yeah. And so, okay, go on.
And then a medium, so mediumship would specifically refer to tuning in to the spirits of those who have passed on. Mm-hmm. So this is the ability to connect with the dead. So you, so often if you're working on developing your intuition, if you're working on opening up to psychic ability, this kind of goes hand in hand, because like once you're connected to energy so deeply, like beyond yourself, it just sort of happens. But if that freaks you out, you can place the boundary. It's not scary or anything. It's actually really, really lovely. But that's what a medium means. So if someone refers to themselves as a medium, that's very specific to saying like, I speak to those in spirit, like a loved one in spirit, a family or friend in spirit. So you might see that some people call themselves psychic. Some people call themselves psychic mediums. Some people just say mediums. And if this is someone who works in this realm, that title is typically going to say like a psychic is typically... They're going to give readings that are like tuning into your energy, mm-hmm. to a live quote energy. A psychic medium would do both. And then if someone says, I'm a medium, then they're probably there and specifically you know, they choose to channel loved ones in spirit. So that's what that means. So there's those sort of different ways to title them. And we are both psychic mediums. Mm-hmm. I think you tend to do more mediumship than I do.
Yeah, I do. It's such an odd thing because, like, even I'm in the process sometimes of being like, this can't be.
It's very weird.
And then these specific details come back, names and dates and no boo, you know, I just will get all these things. And so I'm just as curious in it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're each the way that we were at least mentored and trained. It's different energy levels, so it's different frequencies. So mm-hmm. to do this is why when you see us go live on Instagram, we're not doing live medium readings.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different frequency, and I could never do like 20 of those in an hour.
Yeah,
like I can do one a day, and then I'm done.
the emotions attached to it are very intense. I feel like
absolutely,
mm-hmm.
and. It's something about psychic information. Like, there's just something about just knowing. It almost feels like just knowing or just remembering, like remembering where something was, you know, something mm-hmm. lives in your closet, or remembering what the plot of that movie was. It comes to me less emotionally. It comes to me just like, just understanding something or just seeing it like a memory. But the mediumship is a bit more of a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all just kind of amazing. Do you have one area that you feel like the most at home in?
So I don't advertise selling mediumship readings because mm-hmm. I just think like it hits too close to home for me. I did do that as a service for a while where I offered specifically like you can purchase a psychic reading or a medium reading from me. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm still healing from my own grief. It's been so many years now, but I got too emotionally involved every single time, and it is a lot. Like,
yeah,
it is a lot to tune into someone who the living person you're helping, you know, really misses that person. You know, sometimes it's very tragic, and so I just had a hard time managing my emotional involvement in those. But when I sell psychic readings, very often a loved one will pop in. But it's very like, it's a little different because there's not as much pressure on that. And I'm like, oh, and I feel, you know, a male presence here. It feels like a grandfather. I'm hearing this name. I just feel a lot of pride. And then I can kind of keep moving into other messages that I feel. So I connect to loved ones in spirit all of the time in my psychic readings, but it's, I don't know, it helps me to, I prefer to do psychic readings and let that happen if it happens, which most readings, at least somebody comes and at least says a little hello. But it's, yeah, I just found, and I was doing a lot of mediumship, and then I just didn't do any readings for like 6 months because I was so worn out from it. So it's really, really special. Like, it's the most beautiful gift to give to somebody, but I just had a really, really hard time placing like energetic and like spiritual boundaries. Like, I just, every time I saw somebody cry, then I would be like, I miss my mom, you know. It was just hard to differentiate that for me at this point in time. But so yeah, I prefer to do my psychic readings like I do.
I like doing psychic readings as well. I just feel like there's so much power that we have in the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes just hearing the right message can transform our whole lives
mm-hmm.
and be like a real turning point. And so I feel like I can be more helpful in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I do, you know, when I do readings, and if you're like, where do I order a reading? Right. I don't have them like publicly available. I do them sort of anonymously in another format, but maybe someday. Maybe someday.
If you really want mediumship, I feel like you can DM Juliet maybe and she can talk to you. But
yeah, if you if you want a reading, I guess DM me. And I'm nervous to say that. And you know what? I've always been very, like, especially with mediumship, I always have a policy where if it's like, if this didn't connect, like, you're not paying. Like,
yeah.
I'm not out to take anybody's money. So, yeah, you can DM me and we can go from there.
But I will, like, because the how I decided to do the mentorship was hearing about our mentor medium Megan Hart through Juliet. But then when I got my medium reading from her, it was such a huge turning point of healing for me, because when I lost my mom, everyone says, oh, you know, they're always with you, they're always with you, they're always with you. And I felt so, like, I felt like I was supposed to feel her. I felt like I was supposed to have some sort of connection, see all these signs. And I did see signs from her, which are butterflies from her specifically. She was obsessed with butterflies. But I just was like, I always felt like I was disconnected. Something was wrong. And then and I had never, ever seen a psychic or a medium ever in my life, never experienced anything like that. And then I'm talking to this woman who at the time was a complete stranger to me. And she's describing my brothers and my dad and their personality. She's describing what my mom looks like. She's saying names. She's saying my dog's name. Just all of this stuff that, you know, you couldn't find on my social media or Google it or whatever, you know, if you want to try to, like, let your ego go down that path. And I was just like, holy shit, my mom really is here. And from that point, that validation and almost that proof, I felt the connection again. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, I can feel it now because, like, somebody showed me. I don't know. It was so, you know, mediumship maybe doesn't feel like always like you're helping someone in the present moment, but it really is. It offers a sense of, like, closure and peace, I think.
Well, and it feels so amazing, you know, in that same vein, what opened me up was a reading with Megan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the information she brought forward just blew me away. And it was with a relative that I'd always thought about, mm-hmm. because the way that he passed away was extremely tragic, and it happened before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought, like, oh, like, I never got to meet that uncle.
Yeah.
And just like a small trigger warning with suicide, my uncle Scott, he took his life when he was 20 years old. And my mom was probably 22 at the time. And it has
so hard on your mom.
Yeah, and her mom. And it just sort of, like, it just changed, like, the course of the family. And we have a lot of really big mental health stuff in that particular line that I did get as well, but thank God for the modern day and things we can do. But I was not even expecting for a second to hear from him.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to hear from my grandparents, and in comes, she's like, there's a man here, he's so excited, he's saying he's an uncle but also like a godfather, and like he's telling me how he passed away, and she said, like, how he did it. And I mean, it was just so, she had like his name. It's not online.
Yeah.
Cause even I was like, this can't be, but it was. And the whole time this is happening, I was getting this little tap on my shoulder. That's like, you know, you can do this too.
Mm-hmm.
You have this in you too. And that's when the mentorship began. But there is something really powerful about it. And my life has only gotten better and better and more fuller. It's just improved tremendously the more I opened up these intuitive gifts.
Yeah.
Even if it is a little scary at first.
And it's hard. It makes you face a lot, like, within yourself, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And at times it can be hard, but yeah, it's the most beautiful gift you can give yourself, I think, to, like, let yourself get to know your intuition, understand your ego and how it formed and where it comes in, and, like, honor your intuition. It's really freaking powerful. And so your intuition, what is your intuition if you're new around here? Your intuition, I kind of think of it as, like, So it, part of it is that it's like your own inner guidance, your own inner wisdom. It's really connected to just the truest form of you, the most pure form of you, your desires, your dreams, your destiny. Like it's who you are at your core. And then the other part of your intuition is that it's connected to the energy around you, your connection to the spirit realm connection. It's like, it's kind of like this like radio tower, mm-hmm. that's like boop, 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 boop. And it can tune into to beyond yourself as well. So your intuition is tuned into infinite possibility because it is shining outward and picking up all that information. And then your ego, so you might hear us talk about intuition versus ego. Your ego is tuned into your direct experiences. So this is like what you have directly witnessed and experienced and related to, mm-hmm. In your life, right? So it's like this computer chip that's holding your data history, right? And so that's it. So it has a very limited scope of what life is about, what's possible for you, who you are. And so sometimes it feels like, oh, my ego is so annoying, or my ego is like this thing I have to fight against. But truthfully, it's just simply this data center, and it can only see what it's basically seen with your two eyes. So you can see how that can be really limiting. But that's where intuition comes in. So if you're living life led by the ego, you're going to be stuck in the same old, because it's like, this is what we know. This is what, you know, maybe as a child we saw was possible from our friends, family, teachers. And then, so you can see how very easily family lines can sort of be stuck in the same patterns again and again, mm-hmm. because we have only so much information about what's possible for us. And so you see, you know, family lineages that have a history of success that continue forward because that's the information the ego has. And you can see how this can really keep us stuck in one place. So when you can look beyond that and say, okay, ego, I get where you're coming from. I hear you, I see you, but we're gonna see what intuition has to say, because I want to know, I'm grateful to learn from the experiences I have, but I want to know what's beyond this, and I'm ready to try it out. And so that can be scary, and it can be, scary is the word I'm looking for, mm-hmm. But it's so powerful to live intuitively. So that's why intuition is so important, because it takes you out of that box of what you've known, and it takes you into the realm of the unknown, but the unknown is where all of the possibility is.
Oh, absolutely. I heard something today. I was watching a Manifestation Babe workshop, and she said that when we start listening to our intuition more often, it gets louder.
Absolutely.
When we don't listen to it, it just gets quieter and quieter over time. It never goes away, mm-hmm. but it's just like, you know, imagine if you're trying to communicate something to somebody, if they're just absolutely ignoring you, you're not going to be shouting it as loud.
Yeah.
You know, you'll just be like, well, I told you.
Right. They're going to be like, well, I'm trying. I'm still here saying my piece, but I'm not going to, your intuition's not going to like scream and wave and jump up and down forever. It's going to be like, all right. But I think what's so cool is that we've been running, you know, group containers for a while now. And it's so amazing. Once you are in the energy of a group who sees this as possible, that, oh, I can tune in, I can connect to my own loved ones in spirit, I can, you know, communicate with my own spirit guides, I can, you know, tune into my own intuition to see what's possible for me. It's so amazing how being in that group energy, people, even when the intention isn't to develop intuition, how people so quickly, and if you're listening and you're like, yeah, I've experienced that in a coven meeting or whatever, or in one of our group programs, how quickly you're just like in it. It's just like your ego is given the information and the proof that other people are doing it, so can you, and you open up to it so fucking fast, mm-hmm. and it's so cool. So that's been really really powerful to just to see, like, we experienced how quickly we opened up once we were put in a mentorship and saw it was possible for someone else, so it could be possible for us too. And then to provide spaces for that to happen is, like, so cool and so fun. And before we dive into the fun psychic stories you have, should we share a little bit about the new space we're creating for developing intuition?
Yes. So we've been getting a lot of DMs, emails. There is high demand for intuition, intuitive development, mm-hmm. psychic development, not necessarily, you know, training on how to be a professional psychic, but mm-hmm. like really for brand new beginners to intermediate level intuitives and psychics, like to just begin to open up, mm-hmm. to really tap into that part of yourself, something that we did as fully grown adults.
Yeah.
Something that I almost never expected, but I desired it. Mm-hmm. I desired it and I followed that desire, and so did Sadie. And you know, having a strong intuition is, I think, one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself. It's one of the greatest tools you can have, because you will move through life so much more confidently, so much mm-hmm. more decisively. You'll know when something feels right. You'll know when something feels mm-hmm. off. You'll feel, like Sadie just said, more connected to the spirit world, to maybe your ancestors. There's just nothing but upsides to being more intuitive. And there's a reason mm-hmm. why people crave it, because it really makes life better. Mm-hmm. So we are just about to announce this very special place that we are creating for you. And Sadie came up with a very fun name for it.
So introducing the Psychic Circle, which is going to be a monthly membership. We're going to meet twice a month on live calls. Mm-hmm. One of those calls is going to be a workshop style where we are teaching on intuition, on psychic ability, on development. And then the second call of the month will be a practice session. So sometimes we will be doing practice sessions as a group. Sometimes we'll do breakout rooms where you can practice doing readings for each other. So whether you're in it to develop your intuition personally, or you think it'd be really fun to be able to do readings for other people, whether that's as someone who's paid or for fun with your friends and family, this is going to be really, really special. We're excited to meet with you twice a month live on Zoom. And then there will also be community aspect of it, where you'll be in a special Discord for the Psychic Circle, where you'll be able to pop questions in there, coordinate with other members if you want to give each other readings to practice even more. Because one thing we realized too, and since we've been doing these free reading sessions on Instagram Live, at least for me, I was like, wow, this is such amazing practice mm-hmm. to like connect with so many people and do readings fast like that. And I feel like my confidence in my psychic ability and how easily I'm able to tune in has just increased like 100-fold in the last couple months. Mm-hmm. So we really wanted to create a space where we could teach and mentor, but also nurturing, just having people to connect with and say, like, I want to practice. Who wants to get together and practice? So we're really excited. Did I miss anything?
Ooh, you also get the opportunity to do photo readings.
Oh, yes.
Which was a huge part of our training, mm-hmm. Where with permission, mm-hmm. we will share a photo and you will have the opportunity to sort of meditate, and we're going to walk you through the steps and how we, you know, expand and develop our intuition, and then you'll be able to connect and share about your experience. And you might be thinking, well, how is this different than the coven?
Well, this is very specifically centered on developing your intuitive abilities, and you will be able to call yourself a psychic, because being psychic is an intentional development of your natural intuition you already have. It's really going to be focused on the psychic and medium aspect, which is exciting. And mm-hmm. like Juliet said, the photos will be of complete strangers that we know, so that we can put in what you read and get them validated by the people, which is exciting. So it's going to be a space to specifically develop your intuitive gifts, your psychic abilities. And the coven is different. The coven, if you're looking for more of like witchy community connection, the coven also meets twice a month, but that is centered around the energy of the moon. We work spells together. We channel messages around the current energy of the given moon. So if you're looking for more like witchy, casual fun, the coven is for you. If you're really excited about the development of your intuition and even psychic medium abilities, if you're a beginner to intermediate, then the psychic circle is perfect for you.
And they're both going to be $22 a month.
Yep.
Psychic circle will be super cash flow friendly.
$22 a month.
And we're just really excited. We're excited to offer something at that price.
Yes. Two calls, a community to who's also developing. You can connect and ask questions and practice with. Mm-hmm. $22 a month. Stay as long as you want. A workshop to learn every month. A practice session every month live with us. It's going to be so, so fun. And like, it's so funny because I think a couple months ago, like we had kind of briefly like chatted about it and we were like, oh, we'll keep that on the back burner. And then the moment that like that was said between us, but we didn't put anything out there in the social media world.
Everybody
started
asked.
Getting DM'd. So you're all more psychic than you might think because immediately emails, DMs, so many of the readings I'm doing are like, I think I might have psychic gifts. Can you confirm that for me? And I'm like, I don't need to be psychic to tell you this.
Yeah.
Yes, you can absolutely be psychic too. So if this feels exciting to you, if you've ever thought, I wonder if I could do that, the answer is yes. And so we're so excited. The Psychic Circle will be officially open to sign up on 11/11,
November 11th. A magic day. And you're more than welcome and invited to be in the Coven and the Psychic Circle.
Absolutely.
They're two separate portals with some different perks to both, different missions in both, but they'll complement each other really well.
Yes.
And you'll meet some amazing people.
And you'll get to be on four calls.
Oh my gosh.
A month. How
all
fun.
Month
we'll
long.
See you every
four
week.
Calls. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that?
Can you imagine? So that was everything I sort of wanted to cover and teach about when it came to intuition and psychic abilities. And I'm excited to hear some psychic stories from
Juliet. Oh my gosh,
Juliet.
I have some good ones. Sorry, boo. Okay.
Boo,
it's gonna
are
look
you
like
ready
I have
too?
Tons of paper. I just print everything in giant font.
Being 31.
Being 31 is so much fun. I cannot see. Okay. So here were just some, I wanted to find some moments in history where people who weren't, you know, known to be psychic had some pretty psychic moments. And then of course then I went down the Nostradamus rabbit hole and I thought, if there's time, I'll share a couple of those. That could be a whole other episode.
That would be a good episode.
Maybe I won't say those. Okay. But there is, ooh, let me get some water. Here, entertain them while I drink some water.
Do, 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 some elevator music while we wait for the psychic story.
Okay, I'm ready. Thank you.
She's back.
So we've talked about this. There have been three very specific times when authors have been psychic.
Mm-hmm.
Tapped into something. So this one is the one that always gets me. So, author Morgan Robertson predicted the Titanic.
Ooh.
Have you heard of this one?
I feel like yes, but I don't remember the details of it.
Okay. 14 years before the ill-fated Titanic hit an iceberg while en route to New York, killing 1,517 people in the icy Atlantic. Also, why did this story, like, did you grow up like obsessed with the Titanic? My sister was obsessed to the point where I'm like, was she there? Or were all of us at least alive at that time and like remembered this event happening and it shook us all to our core?
I don't know. I remember like I'd go to my Grandma Olson's and all my cousins, like on my on my mom's side, I'm the oldest cousin, but on my dad's side, I'm like a younger cousin. And so we would always watch the Titanic, and they would always like cover my eyes during the sexy part when Jack's painting her. And I was like, I want to see. But we watched it over and over. We were obsessed with it.
It's just fascinating.
It's a love story. It's tragic. Humans have this weird fascination with tragedy. I don't know if it's facing our own mortality. I don't know.
So, get this. Morgan Robertson penned, 14 years before the Titanic, a tragedy at sea tale called Futility, or The Wreck of the Titan.
Oh,
the ship was called the Titan.
That's spooky.
In which another supposedly, quote, unsinkable boat sank after hitting an iceberg. The similarities are truly creepy, right down to the name of the ship.
Whoa.
Okay, here's another person. So that person was psychic. Okay.
Boo just keeps staring at me and like not blinking. Okay, now she's looking around. Okay. She's freaking me out. We've just been staring at each other.
Author Jonathan Swift predicted the moons of Mars and was spot on.
Oh.
More than 100 years before we learned that Mars has two moons, Phobos and Deimos, Jonathan Swift made an educated guess about the red planet in his 1726 novel Gulliver's Travels. He wrote about two lesser stars or satellites which revolve around Mars. Even more remarkably, he predicted their exact size and speeds of rotation. Given that no technology existed yet that would have made Mars visible, how could Swift possibly have known this? There's been a lot of wild speculation, including theories that Swift himself might have been a Martian. That's so specific. That was some psychic information.
Yeah, to have the like scientific data correct, that's crazy.
Okay, here's one more author. Because we always talk about this, like when authors predict things.
Yeah, I'm like, authors are channeling stuff from other dimensions or, yeah.
Okay. Author Jules Verne predicts space travel. To be fair, a lot of fiction imagined what it might be like if human beings were capable of flying to the moon. But from Earth to the Moon, an 1865 novel by author Jules Verne, this book got closer with more of the details than most. Sure, the general premise was kind of silly. A giant cannon fired a manned projectile into space, but he wrote about the weightlessness that astronauts experience, something that an author in the mid-19th century would have no way of knowing. Oh. He also predicted that there would be three astronauts on that first moon mission and that the launch would take place in Florida.
That's very specific.
Right? Psychic.
Wow.
Okay, I have a couple more. I love doing these.
I love these.
Thank you. Fun facts with Juliet. Okay. Mark Twain was super psychic.
Mm.
Another author. Authors. He predicted his own death.
Oh, I think I've heard of this, but I don't remember the details again.
Mark Twain was born just 2 weeks after Halley's Comet appeared in the skies in 1835. I didn't realize this was when he was, I guess I should have known this because of his, okay, anyways. So, as he remarked to his biographer who published his book in 1909, it is coming again next year and I expect to go out with it. It will be the greatest disappointment of my life if I don't go out with Halley's Comet. It may have sounded like a joke, and it was likely intended as such, but true to his word, Twain died on April 21st, 1910, just a single day after Halley's Comet returned.
That's crazy. I do remember that one. Doesn't that come around every, 47 or 67 years or something? It's like on a specific rotation.
Yeah. Well, let's see. What's the math?
What's the math? I don't know.
1835 to 1910. So 1935 would have been 100 years. 25, 90, 15. So 75? Every 75 years?
75 years. I knew there was a 7 there.
Correct me if I did the math wrong.
I'll just do it on my phone really quick. Okay. Now I have to know.
1910. Minus 1835. Is it 85? Was I wrong?
75.
Okay.
Good job.
Oh my goodness. He also envisioned the internet in the 1800s. Oh. No, it wasn't Al Gore who invented the internet, but the first person to dream about it was Mark Twain. in his 1898 short story from the London Times of 1904, where he introduced readers to something called a telectroscope that used a phone system to create a worldwide network for sharing information. This innovation, Twain wrote, would make the daily doings of the globe visible to everybody and audibly discussable too by witnesses separated by any number of leagues. The next time you use Twitter and YouTube, always remember that the guy who wrote The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn thought of it first. Psychic.
Wow, that's very specific too, that you'd be able to see the happenings of the globe.
Okay, here's another one. A friend predicted the death of James Dean.
Ooh.
This one gave me heebie-jeebies. When actor James Dean died in a car crash at the young age of 23, nobody saw it coming. Nobody, that is, but his fellow thespian, Alec Guinness. As the future Jedi Master, Guinness played Ben Kenobi in the Star Wars movies. He explained in a BBC interview in 1977 that he met Dean only once at a Hollywood restaurant. Dean showed off his new car to Guinness, bragging that it could reach speeds of 150 miles per hour. Some strange thing came over me, Guinness recalled. I said, please do not get into that car, because if you do, by 10 o'clock by next Thursday, you'll be dead. Guinness didn't just predict the Rebel Without a Cause star's death, but the exact date, September 30th, 1955, it would happen. Or, hear me out, he's lying about this whole thing. James Dean can't confirm it, he's gone. But if that did truly happen, that was some, like, psychic information.
Yeah. Wow.
So that one was like, ooh. Okay, I'm going to find one Nostradamus as a teaser for a future episode that we'll do.
Okay.
Because Nostradamus...
When was he alive?
I don't know.
Okay, I'll look that up.
I want to say it was like the 1300s. It was a long time ago. He predicted Hitler.
He was a French astrologer. And he was born in 1503 and died in 1566. Full name, Michel de Nostradamus.
Okay. I could read the Hitler one. I could read the Great Fire of London. I could read Napoleon. Pick your poison. Charles de Gaulle.
Oh, this one has... People are really scared of something that he predicted for 2023.
Oh my God, tell me.
Right now.
Tell me.
Are you guys ready to be really scared? Nostradamus' scary prediction for 2023 published. This event expected to shock the world. Okay, so this article, what am I on? SOT.com? Okay. This says, I'm just going to read what this says. Take it for what it is. I just Googled this and I did
not research
it.
Maybe it's already debunked. We don't
So this says the conflict in Ukraine could bring a terrible big war next year if the predictions of the famous philosopher and prophet Michel de Nostradamus, otherwise known as Nostradamus, were to be believed. The Frenchman made thousands of predictions about the future in his book Les Prophètes, published over 450 years ago, and is estimated to predict everything from the rise of Hitler to the assassination of JFK and even the 9/11 attacks. For 2022, he predicted a series of horrific events, including an asteroid strike, inflation, famine, and robots that would invade Earth. And while none of that has happened yet, well, we have inflation... for sure. His predictions for next year, 2023, are even more dire. The thing with Nostradamus is when you have thousands of predictions, he's playing a numbers game, right? Kind of. I mean, you're going to get some right. He's like, 1,000 for 2022. I'm going to hit a couple on the head, you know?
He had 1,000 for 2022.
I don't know. Just okay. There was thousands of predictions. Okay, so what is he saying for...
You know what? I'm ready for a prediction about this disease will go away and
this says
everyone will be gifted an alpaca.
For 2023, 7 months of the Great War, people dead from wickedness. This can be seen as an allusion to a larger conflict like a third world war stemming from the conflict in Ukraine, which could arise next year. He says Paris would be destroyed. He also alludes to a heavenly fire in the royal building. Let's see. Ooh. Throughout the book, the end of the world or end of time has always mentioned fire as the main factor in the end of the world. It is suggested that a new world order will emerge from the ashes of civilization. Okay, so he's basically thinks in his prediction for 2023 is a third world war. That's what's scary.
It which, does sadly, feel possible. There is
very serious conflict.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't get into that.
Well, let's hope. Well,
but robots haven't taken over 2022 yet. Crossies yet. On that one, but that does happen.
Okay.
How would he know? Okay, that I wonder what the specific words he said would allude to robots taking over, because robots weren't a thing in the 1500s.
They didn't exist. Okay. Let's save this for another episode. I feel like I've kept everybody on the edge of their seat, but this is like a whole other thing. Oh my God, it's just all... I've watched so many documentaries on him. He fascinates me so much. He would just sit up in his little attic or office or whatever, and like these things would just come through him, but they always came through in prose. Okay, let me just give you like a
give us
sprinkle
one.
Of context. Okay, so let's do something a little more recent in history. We're going to do the JFK and RFK.
Okay.
So his prediction, they always were in four lines. Mm. The great man will be struck down in the day by a thunderbolt, an evil deed foretold by the bearer of a petition. According to the prediction, another falls at nighttime, conflict at Remus, London, and a pestilence in Tuscany. And so everybody's like, what does that mean? So this is the interpretation. The great man, John Kennedy, received numerous death threats, a petition, and was gunned down, thunderbolt, in the afternoon of November 22nd, 1963. Bobby Kennedy was killed just after midnight on June 5th, 1968. Another falls at nighttime, and the world mourned. So a lot of these are just open to interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
There were other ones, like for Hitler, he called him Hister. Hmm. Beasts ferocious with hunger will cross the rivers. The greater part of the battlefield will be against Hister. Into a cage of iron will the great one be drawn when the child of Germany observes nothing.
I think he is a seer.
Yeah.
But when you're making predictions for about 450 years.
When do his predictions end?
I don't know that. I don't know that.
Okay,
either.
This is a whole other episode. Thank you for enjoying us workshopping this with you.
You know, there's so much, because this is the case with any seer, and this is why I don't have no interest in opening up that type of psychic ability of being a seer. That's also like a very specific type of psychic ability to like see the future.
Mm-hmm.
Because one, I don't want to see something bad that you have no power in.
I'm just going to cause like anxiety.
I never would have wanted to know that, like, I don't know, whatever bad thing happened that I couldn't have any control over. I'm open. I've always said, like, hey, I'm open to seeing the future if it's something that somebody can do something differently and it will prevent something bad from happening. Always totally open to see that. Something that is empowering. But you have to remember, there are definitely people who can see the future. So if you go to a seer and get a reading and they're telling you what's going to manifest in your future, and something doesn't happen, it's not always that they were wrong. It's that we have free will. And so many small actions and choices throughout our day have huge butterfly effects in our lives. So it's pretty impressive, actually. You know, I made a joke. I'm like, you make a thousand, thousands of predictions, some will hit. But it depends on all of these choices we're all, as humanity, constantly making, because it can shift the outcome. The smallest action can have huge butterfly effects down the road. So it is very impressive, and I completely believe he is a seer of the future.
I know. He's interesting. We'll do a whole other thing on him. But I think that's a great distinction you're making, that, like, you know, to be psychic, to be intuitive, it doesn't mean you are predicting the future.
No.
That is a whole other tier.
It's
that's like
very
a
hard to do, yeah.
Especially when things can change all the time. That's something I always say when I do readings. It's like, you know, this is what I'm feeling in this moment. This is how the energy is appearing, you know. But the ultimate truth is that we have the power to make changes, to maneuver in our own lives. Mm-hmm. And I don't think too many things are set in stone. I think we have a lot of free will and power.
I do have a good example of a seer making a big impact, and this is Craig's story, but he's told it before.
Yeah.
Either on this podcast or on his. But that his sisters were at a party where there was a psychic, and she, you know, it was just like the parties we do, you know, fun and playful. And her sisters went to her, the psychic, and she got very serious, and she was like, I need to see your brother. Like, she instantly saw what Craig's future was going to be if things didn't change. And this is, I don't know her name, but some famous psychic, costs a lot of money to go to. And she was like, I'm not going to charge him. Like, I need to see him. And so he went to her, and she was like, I can see your future, and you will not make it. Like, it has to change. So that's an example of, like, being able to empower somebody. Like,
oh, wow. Ooh, chills.
Sometimes we do see the future in order to say, ooh, this path, that's only going to lead to bad, bad, bad. That's not, you know, but you have a choice to make a change. And that was one of the big moments of many things, you know, that planted the seed for him to be able to get sober after so many years of so many different things. So it is really powerful to see the future when it's empowering.
Ooh, I just gotta chill.
Yeah.
And we'll have little glimpses sometimes.
Absolutely.
We'll have little glimpses. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually, one of my favorite, I had a reading where I was like, I can't remember the specifics, but I was seeing like, what somebody like looked like and what they were like, and I was seeing all these details, and at the time there was no feedback on how that connected. And then somebody reached out to me like 6 months later and emailed me and said, oh my god, you will not believe this, that all the stuff you told me in my reading, I didn't make any sense of it, and then that is what played out. I met this person and all of these things happened, and it's been the most beautiful, amazing thing in my life ever. And so sometimes we receive information, we give it, and we don't know it's like a future prediction or, you know, but it's just information that's there that we've tapped into. So that was really cool, because I was like, whoa, I was seeing what was to come. But yeah, we always set the intention that it's empowering messages only, because some things we're just not meant to know.
Yeah, we don't want to stress ourselves out or anybody else out.
No.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm feeling really excited that, number one, we've hit episode number 100.
100!
If you have ideas for future episodes, if there's something you want us to dive into in the world of witchcraft, magic, mindset, manifestation, psychicness, please feel free. Shoot us a DM or an email, goddesshangs@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. We have like a running list of ideas, and we can add that to the list. If you want to, oh, look at the baby girl.
Oh, my little daughter, you're so cute.
If you want to join a community of witchy babes, we have an incredible coven. We meet for 2 live calls a month. We cast a spell together. We do a meditation together. It's an amazing way to embrace and honor your witchcraft practice.
We meet around the new and full moon. So if you want to work in a group setting with the energy of the moon and connect with other people on their witchcraft or spiritual journey, then this is a great place to be.
Mm-hmm. And if you are somebody who is like, ooh, that sounds good and I want more, we have the Psychic Circle coming very soon. We are so excited to offer our guidance and our mentorship and create space for you to practice in, you know, a supportive environment. That is how we have really honed our gifts, and we're really excited to sort of pay it forward and create that same space for you.
Yes.
And as always, we have our beautiful oracle decks. if you want the magic of the intuitive magic oracle deck. I want to
grab the other one, but my hand's stuck under Boo and she's being really cute right now. Thank you.
So we have two beautiful oracle decks. We would love to ship them to you. Oh my gosh, we shipped one recently. Sadie shipped it. Sadie's our shipping department. And there was a very sweet note. It was like thanking somebody for introducing them to the podcast because they love it so much. Yes. And it just melts in our hearts.
Shout out.
So thank you for supporting our pod. And we designed and created these ourselves, and they're so beautiful and so special. And when you see us do live readings, we do free live readings every Tuesday on Instagram Live.
Boo's playing with my brain right now.
Every Tuesday, 3 p.m. Pacific on Instagram Live. Set your alarm, show up right on time, get your name in. We would love to do a free reading for you. We're also going to be on TikTok Live every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Pacific. Same thing, show up bright and early, right on time, and let's get you a reading. And these are the cards that we read with. So if you're like, I want to do readings in my own home, we have these beautiful decks.
Yes. If you want to practice your own divination and intuition, these decks are a great option. They're perfect, especially we created them really intentionally for people that are new to reading cards. They're really easy to work with.
So easy, so easy. And then I think the final thing I can just mention is we are going to Bali next summer.
Yes, we are. Oh my God, Bali. I like forgot.
I know, the goddesses. My mom is watching that Ticket to Paradise movie. Is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah.
And she says, oh my gosh, they're in Bali. And she's like, I'm so excited for you. I know, I want to see it too.
Ooh.
We're going to dance beneath waterfalls, visit beautiful sites. We're going to explore sacred monkey forests. We're going to have meals together. We're going to go play in the ocean together. We're going to host really special witchy and magical and mindset and manifestation workshops. Mm-hmm. There is still room on this trip if you want to come to Bali with us and gift yourself the trip of a lifetime. We are so excited to do this with you. It's next July, 2023.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited. Bali has always been on my bucket list.
I know, me too.
So I get to do this as invite our community and connect with everyone and just have the most magical, mystical, special time together. So excited.
So excited. Thank you for your support, for your encouragement, for just being here, for telling a friend. We are at 100 episodes and we can't wait for the next 100. This is the joy of our lives. To be a part of yours. And we are so grateful and we hope you enjoyed today's episode. And we'll see you at a live, an Instagram or a TikTok live. You have the dates, write them down. And we'll see you inside the Psychic Circle. It launches November 11th and you can join the Coven any day. The Coven is available. We're ready to give you a big warm welcome and it's a very fun place to be.
Yes, our next Coven meeting is this week. We're meeting for, what is it, the new moon?
The full moon.
I'm like, where am I? My detox has me all turned around. We're meeting for the full moon, I believe, on Tuesday?
It's, you know what? Down.
Don't know. But we're meeting this week. Click on the link and you'll be able to check it out. The links are all in the show notes for all the things we've talked about. Follow us on social media. We're at Goddess Hangs on TikTok and Instagram. You can follow me on Instagram at I am Sadie Olson.
Mine is at Juliet. I was like, I am Juliet. At Juliet.Piper.
And we'll see you next week for episode 101.
101 Dalmatians. We'll see you. It's the Dalmatian episode.
Bye. Bye.